11 minutes past six. Turns out that we've already intercepted a person of interest in a terrorism context at an airport. In fact, there are counter-terrorism units. They began operations last week at Sydney and in Melbourne, the international airports, and they've got going. Tony Abbott told Question Time in Parliament that this week, and he said that there will soon be similar units, which is part of the Customs and Border Protection Service, at all international airports in Australia. Here he is.
There will be an additional 80 Border Force officers stationed at international airports to monitor the movements of people on our national security watch lists. I'm advised that these new units have already intercepted at least one person of interest.
This happens, of course, in the context of debate about counter-terrorism legislation that the government is proposing. Joining me now is a Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus. Thank you very much for your time.
Very good to be with you, Waleed.
I would have thought this stuff would happen all the time.
It does. And we've seen a fair bit of this from the Prime Minister. He likes to rebadge things. He likes to pretend that things are happening for the first time in Australia. And, of course, we've had a counter-terrorism function, not just in the Australian Federal Police, not just in ASIO and ASIS and other intelligence agencies, but in customs for some considerable time. If what the Prime Minister is talking about is an increase in resources, then we welcome it.
Right, so an additional...
But it's not new.
Right, this is the additional 80 Border Force officers that he refers to. Is this an increase? Do you know? Have you spoken to him about this?
Not to him personally, and we're still waiting for the details because although the Prime Minister stood up with the Attorney General and the Foreign Minister back on the 5th of August and said that there was $630 million that was going to be given to five agencies, we're still waiting for the details of that. It seems to be being dripped out in small doses.
Okay. Speaking of details, and perhaps a lack thereof, we don't know yet very much about the details of this proposed new offence of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, effectively, of being in certain places that would be prohibited, where there might be heightened terrorist activity or something like the self-declared Islamic State running it or whatever, and you would have to demonstrate that you had a legitimate reason for being there. Now, there was the reverse onus of proof argument, which was a very significant concern that a lot of lawyers particularly had. Today, Julie Bishop has said something about this that seems to me, at least, to change the game. This is what she had to say.
We want to introduce an offence for people to go to designated areas. If they have a reason for being there, a legitimate reason, well, then they can go. But if they don't, then the onus of proof is on the authorities to show that they don't have a legitimate reason for being there. There's no reversal of an onus of proof.
Mark Dreyfus, you've expressed concern about the reverse onus of proof. Does this allay those concerns?
Well, I welcome any clarity that the Foreign Minister can bring to the government's proposed national security changes. We still haven't seen the legislation, but if there is a new position that there won't be a reverse onus of proof provision for Australians travelling to some areas overseas, then of course we'll consider that too. It does appear that Julie Bishop is contradicting the Attorney General, who's been out there creating confusion on this issue for about 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, it does seem at odds, although the government is insisting that that's not the case, that this is merely a clarification of what was before. David Irvin, who heads ASIO, didn't seem to know the details of the legislation. Often these things are developed in concert or with briefings to the opposition. Have the opposition been briefed on this?
No. And the concern is, well, sorry, we've had a briefing, but as the Director General of ASIO said publicly today at the press club, I attended the lunch, he said that there isn't a clear proposal from the government. My concern really is that we've got a government that seems to like holding press conferences, like making public announcements, but seems to be announcing things without having any clear understanding of what it is that they're proposing.
Remind you of any previous governments?
I think here in the national security area, it's particularly important that we have clarity, that the government doesn't announce things without understanding what it is that they're proposing to do, doesn't develop proposals on the run. National security is a lot more important than that.
Can I clarify, though, what the opposition's stance is? Because yesterday I was seeing reports that the opposition would say they were going to oppose anything that had the reverse onus of proof, that decision had been made. Was that correct?
No, that's not correct. We've said at all times that the presumption of innocence is a central part of the Australian legal system. And when someone's proposing to reverse that, to take away the lawfulness of someone simply going to some part of the world, that needs to be justified. The government needs to explain exactly how it would work. That has not been forthcoming, and already we're seeing the government apparently backing away from it.
It was interesting, though, because I've got in the dim, dark recesses of my memory a conversation we had about, I think it was proceeds of crime legislation, and where your government, when you were in government, had introduced a reverse onus of proof effectively for unexplained wealth, where people would have to prove that the wealth that they had was not from the proceeds of a crime under certain circumstances. So should we take from that that you're comfortable with the concept of a reverse onus of proof in certain circumstances?
No, I don't think any government should be comfortable, as you've put it, Waleed, with the reverse onus of proof, but I think we have to recognise that there will be circumstances in which the evidentiary burden might shift, and every case has to be considered on its merits. In the proceeds of crime area, where we're trying to target people who have got massive amounts of unexplained wealth, living in mansions, driving luxury cars, spending vast amounts of money without any apparent means of support, that's something that we should be attacking. And one way to do that is through the tax system, another way is through unexplained wealth laws.
So in the case of counter-terrorism measure, wouldn't it be even more justified given the heightened risk?
Well, we've got to look at the particular problem that's sought to be dealt with here, which is Australians going to participate as fighters in terrorist causes in Iraq and Syria. Of course that's a concern. It's a concern that we would wish to stop any Australian from going to Iraq and Syria to fight. And we want to prevent Australians not just for their own sake, but because of the fear that they will become trained, they'll become more skilled, and on return are more likely to participate in terrorist activity, because regrettably that was the experience of the Australians who went to fight in Afghanistan some decades back. When they came back, a large proportion of them were later involved in criminal activity. That's the concern. And but what the government's proposed, I'm now not clear. We'll have to wait and see what it is that they're going to put forward. They're wanting, apparently, to prevent Australians from going to particular places. We still don't know whether it's a locality that might mean a city or a region or an entire country.
Well, Julie Bishop did refer specifically to territory being held, for example, by Islamic State. So we're getting a sense of what that might mean, and it would depend on the circumstances.
Sure.
Yeah.
And let's see what the provision says. But we share the objective with the government. Whether or not the government can come up with a useful means of criminalising this in order to provide a real deterrent to people to go, and that's in addition to the laws that we've already had in place for a long time now, which is the Foreign Incursions Act and the anti-terrorism provisions of the Criminal Code, we'd want to make sure we're actually adding to those the armoury of the criminal law that's already there.
Mark Ravis, do you read the New York Times?
Every now and again.
Did you see this report quoting US officials saying they expect Australia and Britain will be joining America in an air campaign in Syria, which presumably would be aimed at ISIS or Islamic State?
Well, I'm aware that that report appeared, and we have heard nothing of it here from the government.
Would this be a good idea?
Very much so, particularly because the Prime Minister has said that he'll be consulting with the opposition.
No, I don't mean hearing from them would be a good idea. Would it be a good idea to be engaged in an air campaign in Syria?
Well, I've got to know the terms on which I've got to know the terms on which the air campaign would be conducted and its purpose. If what we are talking about is circumstances of preventing genocidal activity, such as has been occurring at the hands of the Islamic State against, for example, the Yazidis, and it was felt that there could be some genuine assistance given by Australian forces from the air, that would be one thing, but it depends.
Just before I let you go on a different matter, Tony Abbott's office has rejected any suggestions that were in a newspaper report today that he misused travel entitlements in relation to a trip to Melbourne, I think it was this week. And the suggestion was that he visited a Melbourne cancer clinic, and he did that so he could claim for a trip, which was really just a private fundraiser the night before. Now, I stress again, he has denied that. But it seems to me, even if it were true, he hasn't done anything wrong according to the rules. Do the rules need to be changed?
I don't know the circumstances. It's really for Tony Abbott to explain. I think it does show that there's some pretty serious divisions in their party room, that this was raised by one of their senators.
But people really on the Labor side of politics could presumably do a similar thing and get away with it. Is that good enough?
No, we've got very, very clear rules, Waleed, about the travel entitlements of members of Parliament and ministers. And I would expect every member of Parliament and every minister to abide by those rules.
Yes, but the question is about the rules. Are they enough as you see them? Do they need to be amended?
I think that I was Special Minister of State last year. I looked very closely at the rules. The Department of Finance has the unenviable task of administering these rules, and I think they're pretty clear.
Mark Dreyfus, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus, Waleed Ali with you for Drive, 0418226576. How do you feel about this reverse onus of proof that seemingly isn't? Should it be there, or does this assuage your concerns in any way? And entitlements, politicians' entitlements, do the rules need to be changed? 0418226576, Twitter @RNDrive.